Hi, this is Sarah Strudwick, author of Dark Souls, and I have the great pleasure of introducing Dr. Michael Smith, who runs the website, which is called, well, perhaps you'd like to introduce yourself, that would be great.
Great. Thank you for having me on, Sarah. My name is Michael, Michael Smith, and my website is empathconnection.com.
Okay, now Michael, you've written a couple of books, haven't you? Your main emphasis is on empaths and highly sensitive people, isn't it?
Yeah, I work with empaths, actually exclusively. I have a coaching practice devoted to teaching, mentoring, guiding people who are just now discovering that they are empathic or that they are identifying as an quote-unquote empath and or a highly sensitive people. There are some overlaps there in the terminology. And so, yeah, I have a coaching practice and I've written two books, The Complete Empath Toolkit, and then also this latest book for empaths about it's called Navigating 2012, which is about some of the spiritual changes happening on the planet.
Okay, so first of all, the reason I decided to ask you to do an interview was it's basically because I'm looking at the reasons why, for example, people such as empaths or highly sensitive people, we'll go with the term empaths if that's okay,
sure,
are more likely to be attracted to what I call dark soul personalities. Dark souls covers people such as sociopaths and narcissists. So I'd like to have your kind of take on that if that's possible.
Sure. There's such a strong correlation between empaths and what you are calling dark souls. And again, let me just preface my remarks by saying that, even though I have a PhD in counseling, I am not an expert in personality disorders, narcissistic personality disorder, or any of the personality disorders. So I just wanted to make that clear from the outset. And yet I do have some thoughts on them. And some of the thoughts that I have, at least about the relationship between dark souls and empaths, are that I believe that people who are empaths, who identify with that term, which is an empath, for those that don't know, is basically someone who is very adept at perceiving the feelings, the thoughts, the emotions, and the sensitivities of other people. They're very connected to other people in a way that most, quote-unquote, average people are not. So they're adept at that. It's my belief that those types of people who are sensitive to other people are of the light. They come into the earth for a specific purpose, and that is to help heal other people, if you will. And so they carry with them, within their energy fields, within their soul, quote-unquote soul, if you will, a high vibration. They are of the light. We are of the light. We understand the world of spirit. We understand God. We understand Creator. Whatever label you want to use for the divine, we get it. We're in tune with it. We understand it. And we are of that light. Because of that, we have a job to do in transforming. And again, this is just my belief, okay? I don't want to pretend that this is some kind of tome from the divine, but my belief is that we have a job to do in healing darkness.
Right, okay, you know? No, I'd agree with that.
And so I think it would be then therefore natural that we would encounter dark souls in our lives for a variety of reasons, and ultimately with the intention of healing or transforming the darkness.
Right, okay. So if we are, for example, we are more, would you say that perhaps you would agree that we're more prone to attract these type of people?
Well, yes, in the sense that it could be.
Okay.
A quote-unquote setup from spirit could be, right, that we attract these people for one of the reasons, maybe, and again I use this hesitatingly, one of the reasons that we attract Dark Souls, maybe for the reason to educate us about how to deal with darkness.
To educate
us about how to overcome darkness. Like, for instance, using your story that I was privileged to read here in your book, Dark Souls, that you had this these profound experiences with Dark Soul personalities,
mm-hmm.
And ultimately that has led you now to, you know, writing a book and educating, you know, many people about, and here we are talking about it. So ultimately this a large amount of good has come out of your experiences, and I see that in my coaching practice as well, that people that are going through relationships and experiences with Dark Souls, ultimately they're coming out on the other end of things, and they're able to, you know, this is just my term, but zap their finger and just shoot light at the dark and whatever it is that they encounter that's dark, and ultimately through a series of techniques, keeping their auras large, learning how to deal with their thoughts, they are able to, the darkness is transmuted or changed or dissolved simply by their mere presence because their auras are so big.
Right. When you say that their, for example, their presence or their energy is dissolved, or would you, I mean, I'm mentioning in the book that I don't think that these people actually change, okay? But would you say that it just basically makes them, what would you mean by dissolving their energy? I mean, you know, dissipating it, or perhaps I've misunderstood the term there. So for example, as healers, for example, most healers would hope that people around them would shift. Now I work as a healer, I've worked as a healer for 12 or so years. I trained as an acupuncturist. Now I've never healed anybody. It's the person that themselves has facilitated their own healing. That's my view.
Yes.
Yeah. I've never actually done anything to heal anybody, but when I've encountered people who are, I sort of, you know, term dark souls, they're unable, do not have the ability to heal themselves. Unlike some, for example, like yourself, I'm not an expert on personality disorders. So when you say that we're able to sort of dissolve the or, you know, shoot light at them, do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah.
I understand what you're saying. So my response to that would be that that the focus for empaths and highly sensitive people should, I believe, and I don't like using this word should because it's a bit of a strong word, but optimally the focus would behoove us, it would to focus on ourselves first.
Absolutely. And, okay, right.
And so I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying, that our job is to somehow change these people. No, absolutely not. The only thing that we can do is change ourselves. And that's the focus, is learning how to produce light within ourselves. And then God, universe, creator, will just take care of the rest on its own timing.
Right, so would you perhaps agree that maybe these people are brought into our, you know, awareness or what have you, so that we learn to kind of transmute ourselves and become more empathic or more enlightened or whatever? Because I know a lot of people who I've spoken to and have emailed me have said that, you know, they've had the most life-changing experience as a result of meeting these people. At the time, it was perhaps devastating, the worst thing that ever happened to them. But then on reflection, many years later, they've realized that, you know, it was something that they needed to do within themselves.
100%. I mean, again, the focus has to be on us, because as empaths and sensitive people, we are designed to give. And we are designed to see the best in people. And so it's often difficult for us to spot or recognize dark souls just simply because of the fact, and again, this is my belief, that we it's easy for us to see the best in people.
Uh-huh.
And therefore, we will ignore or just simply not see or ignore the intuitive, I think you used the term early warning radar.
Yeah, that's right. Early warning radar, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. So it's easy for us to ignore those early warning signs, the early warning radar, which comes from our solar plexus and our gut.
Uh-huh.
I believe.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Yeah, because, I mean, it's almost, you know, I made some comment about us being magnets almost to these people. Mm-hmm. Well, in my case, I was, but having, you know, spoken to other people since, it's like, no, I'm a magnet as well. So that's really why I contacted you, because I just thought, well, you know, you coach empaths. So in your own coaching practice, do you deal with people who've had experiences with people who are, what, you know, let's call a blanket term, dark soul type people all the time?
Yes.
Okay, often. That's interesting.
It's common. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and what I focus on teaching and sharing is, again, focus. Let's not focus on the dark soul. Let's not focus on the narcissistic personality disorder, antisocial personality disorder. Let's not focus on that. Focus on what you can do as an empath or a sensitive person to make your vibration higher and to create more light in the world. And then that naturally, in and of itself, will empower you to change your thoughts, change your behavior, and take actions that will allow you to ultimately get away from these types of people.
Right, okay. We're going to move on slightly to some sort of tips that people can use to protect themselves, okay? One of the things I found extremely difficult, over the years I've done many different kind of healing techniques, and one of the things that I personally found difficult, and I don't know if other people have experienced that, I have spoken to a few people, so my you know, experience is limited, is that you obviously have experience of, you know, cords and energy attachments, okay? So normally when you disconnect and do an energy disconnection with somebody, then there's a big shift between you and that person, okay? And often we'll, you know, do energy disconnections with healthy people and the relationship becomes even healthier, okay? So from my experience, I found that disconnecting my energy with this dark soul type personality was extremely difficult, and it took me a lot of effort to keep on disconnecting. So do you think that there's something in the empath that wants to keep drawing the person back in? What's your views on that?
Is there something in the empath that wants to keep drawing the person back in? I guess my response to that would be yes, if the person does not do intense healing work on themselves.
Right.
And their issues around self-worth.
Uh-huh, okay.
Self-esteem. I believe that empaths have, it's common for us to have low self-esteem, low self-worth, because our jobs are to be so in tune, or I should say our nervous systems, our energy fields are so in touch with other people that it's easy to lose ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'd agree with that. So,
yeah. And so, is there something that naturally attracts this? Yes, if you have not done your own intense healing work.
No, I would agree with that if you've got low self-esteem, and because often, I mean, I don't know from your own personal experience, but often if an empath isn't aware that they're an empath, and I know it took me a long time to even know, they kind of lose their identity to some degree, because They're That's so right. They don't even know who they are most of the time because they're so sensitive. I think there was a term I called it like an energetic gunk bucket that you end up just being.
Wow. yeah, I love that. Absolutely.
You know, you're just literally soaking up everybody's stuff, and you know, wake up in the morning, it's like, who am I? I don't know who I am, because you're not separate from everybody else's energies. I mean, now I've learned how to separate myself out, but no, it's just interesting. Okay, so moving on to the how empaths feel, the reason I probably wrote the book really was more about the damage that these people do to the psyche. And from an empath point of view, well, even anybody that wasn't empathic, is because dark souls or narcissistic type people or what have you, their whole persona is all about projecting unknown feelings out into, they won't own their feelings, okay? So mm-hmm. if they're gonna have unknown feelings, for example, a narcissist would actually on the surface look like they love themselves, but underneath they actually don't. So they would be projecting those feelings out in all different directions. An empath as a sponge will literally suck those feelings up, so they may possibly end up feeling the feelings of the narcissistic person and feeling like it's them, but actually it's the other person that's feelings that they've soaked up.
That's right.
Yeah. So what would you obviously it's a bit more complex than that, what would you suggest for example as a protection method for empaths? What would you suggest to your own clients and to anybody else to try and use to protect themselves? I mean, obviously there's lots of different protection techniques.
Yes.
So what would you say would be the main one to do?
That's why I wrote the Complete Empath Toolkit, because I wanted to give empaths a set of tools, 44 different methods in that book for protecting themselves and clearing themselves of the, as you say, which the term that I use, I think it was the energy gunk bucket. Is that the term?
Energy right. gunk bucket.
Yes. So the short answer is, let's see if I can take that book and distill it into a short answer. The short answer would be to that question is focus on clearing your energy field and clearing the energy that you do take on, because a lot of it is done without your conscious or without an empath's conscious awareness. Focus on clearing yourself out, whatever you can do to clear the energy out so that you can get filled up with fresh, new, clean energy. Now, I'm a huge advocate of using the body as a way to do that. And that takes many forms, movement, aerobics, and in particular, martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
And even techniques such as yoga. Those, I'm just such a strong component or proponent of, because once you get the body moving, you get the blood moving, you get the circulation moving, the body in its natural divine wisdom will process the energy out of your system through sweat, through using the kidneys and the liver to filter the energy, through the intestines, elimination. The body's very wise. So I tend to focus a lot more than some of my clients are very surprised that I advocate, you know, hey, go exercise. And they kind of are caught by surprise, like, well, what does exercise have to do with processing spiritual energy? Well, it's all connected. And so, yeah, I mean, make that as simple as possible. The number one thing that I see is to move the body and pair that with a prayer or mental intention that you become clean and clear and that the energy leave your system. And there's a variety of ways that you can do that, but calling in the light. So pairing mental intention, prayer, with physical body movement, that's the best way that I know of to stay clear.
No, that's interesting. It's not something that I've actually heard of in, well, I haven't seen the book that you wrote, but it's interesting because often I would say to clients, you know, move away from their space, go out and do a walk. It's an intuitive thing, and actually the movement is good. You know, I was trained in acupuncture and movement is good for moving energy.
Mm-hmm. So I would say absolutely, like all of those other things, meditation, focusing, so many things you can do. I mean, little techniques, wearing protective stones, wearing protective necklaces, all of the common things. And it's been in my experience, in my clients' experience, that if you engage in a martial art, and a martial art is exactly what I just described, it's a pairing of, it's basically learning how to do psychokinesis, psycho, mind, kinetic motion. So mind over motion, and pairing the mind with the body, martial arts, and then turning that into psychic martial arts, where you just simply think of light, light is created, and the light moves out of your body.
Yeah, you mentioned that we had...
I'm sorry, the darkness moves out of your body.
Yeah, you mentioned we had a brief chat before and we started the interview about how you can actually start emanating light in a more positive way. And is that one of the ways that you describe by doing movement?
Yes, and movement, and again, that's real simplistic, right? Here's another example. Like, I'm a big proponent of learning indigenous methods of healing, including, you know, acupuncture, as you're a practitioner of,
yeah.
Which is wonderful. The indigenous cultures are so wise, and we have so much to learn as empaths and sensitive people. If you don't know much about the indigenous methods of healing, I would say learn as much as you can about indigenous, South American, Native American, you know, the Incas, any culture that would qualify as indigenous, learn about as much as you can about those types of methods of healing, Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine. All of those will have medicine for you as an empath in learning how to keep yourself clean and vibrating high.
Have you ever had any experience of encounters with, you know, dark soul type personalities yourself?
Yes, I have, just like many of my clients. I had an experience when I was in my own kind of state of unconsciousness, being when I was an unaware, unskilled empath, about a little over 10 years ago, I'd say. I had a partner who was definitely a dark soul and probably could receive multiple diagnoses from the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. But this person just fit the classic description, as you describe in your book, of a dark soul. And I had many of the same experiences that others are having with those types of people. I mean, this person was charming, presented himself as much more put together than he really was. He implied that he had a mother living overseas, that he was connected to somehow to the British royal family. Complete lies. He implied that he had a trust fund that was coming up, and that was kind of like the hook that kept my interest, like, oh, this is interesting. He's going to get $5 million coming up here in a few years. Maybe I should keep the relationship going. You know, these kind of manipulative psychological devices that he would use to keep me hooked.
Uh-huh.
Right? And then wound up taking most of my money from me. I just wound up supporting him for 2 years. The relationship lasted 2 years. Thankfully, the relationship ended when I took a job in another state, and that was what ultimately got me away from him. But if I hadn't taken that job, I probably would have been with him for another couple, 3-4 years or so. But definitely a dark soul.
And when you look back now, so obviously, you know, you've had time to kind of look back. What do you think was your reasons for not perhaps being able to spot him in the first place? Do you think it was perhaps because you weren't aware enough, or because, you know, I mean, I've wrote in the book that, you know, they could con anybody. I mean, but in my book, I look at a number of different reasons why perhaps not just empaths, but perhaps people with low self-esteem or various different reasons are perhaps more likely to be targeted. I've been on numerous different websites where they say, well, you know, a sociopath, for example, could con anybody. You know, even the Prime Minister. But, you know, my point is, well, yes, they could, but there must be something in certain types where they would be more likely to target certain groups than others. So from your own experience, you know, what do you think that was, you know, perhaps your little red flag, as I call it, over the top of your head, that perhaps made you more of a prime target than you would be now?
Well, there's two ways that I could answer that are coming to me. Number one is that the light and the dark are intimately connected. So often I'll give the metaphor to clients in coaching sessions that if you look at, it's two sides of the same coin. You have a heads and a tails. And the divine source, let's just say this, like source energy is comprised of both light and dark. And they are, the oneness includes currently darkness. So light and dark are intertwined, and there's a relationship, a dance between the two. So is the darkness attracted to the light? Clearly. The other thing, the second way that I would answer that is, as I would say that you know, what Michael Smith has come to understand about that is that it taught me a tremendous amount, and it was almost as if I was, like that was a type of schooling. And he was, this dark soul, attracted to me, or I was attracted to him. I mean, you could put it the other way around, because I really believe that on a soul level, and this may be out of line with your thinking, I don't know, but I believe that everything is designed for a reason. Everything is almost, I don't want to say preordained, because we have free will, and yet clearly I believe, and this is just my personal belief, how I make sense of that experience, is that it was given to me. It was a gift. It was a gift for me to learn about dark souls, about how they operate, about how charming they are, about how manipulative they are, and now and it led me on an incredible journey of healing. If I hadn't had that experience with the dark soul, I wouldn't have been led to seek out the methods of personal healing. 7 years of intense healing experiences, doing sweat lodges every week for 7 years in the Native American community to get that energy out of me. I wouldn't have done that hadn't I had that experience with the dark soul. So I tend to have a somewhat optimistic view of that experience. So that's how I'd answer that question.
No, it's interesting, because I felt pretty much the same, that, you know, there's a lady, I can't remember, Dr. Silver, and she talks about event psychology, where you have four different events, one of which is, for example, a shining star, and the other event is something where it's neither good nor bad, but your whole life will never be the same again afterwards. And for me, that was my kind of, like, you know, it was crap, and, you know, loads of horrible things happened, but now when I look at it, it's almost like I can see the good out of it, you know, because if I hadn't have met him, then I'd probably spend the rest of my life being attracted to, you know, these type of people.
That's right.
You know, one after another. And, you know, I've seen it in coaching, where I've coached people and, you know, they don't listen. You know, I have a theory that the universe just ups the volume eventually. And, you know, if you meet one who's dark enough, you might end up dead. You know, there was a lady who who didn't listen, and she kept, the volume kept getting upped, and the universe kept saying, you better start listening, until eventually she was put in a very dangerous situation. You know, that's the scary part of it, you know, so... Yeah, and interesting.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just going to
make the point
that everything that we can do as you're teaching, as I'm teaching, as all of us light workers are teaching, just pay attention to your gut. Pay attention to the signals, to the intuitive side, to dreams. Pay attention to messages from spirit, who I believe are always around us, guiding us to get away from these people.
Yeah, I'd be interested in your comments. I remember one time ending the relationship with him. Obviously, I had him back, because you'll know when you read the book. But I asked Spirit to send me a message, and I said, please, will you send me a message? But I need lots of them. And I drive down the motorway, and I'm very much into animal symbolism. And occasionally we'll have road kills on the side. You know what road kills are, mm-hmm, just, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. So I said, you know, please send me a message. And I normally might see perhaps one or two road kills on the road. And as I drove down the road, I said, you know, you've got to send me lots of messages. And I saw 21 dead phoenixes on the road. Pheasants.
Wow.
So, you know, if that doesn't tell me that the relationship was over and I needed to get away as fast as possible, I don't know what was telling me. It was just one after another, and in the end I was like, is this my imagination, you know? So, you know, people don't ask for messages, and if you ask for them, you know, they'll give you them.
That's right. Ask. Keep asking, Spirit, because there's so much. There's an entire world out there that we don't necessarily experience or see with our eyes or hear with our ears. That, but yet we can experience that. Those guides, those loving guides, if we ask.
Yeah. No. It's interesting. So. Okay, so if people would like to find out more about your work, if you would be kind enough to repeat your website, and where can they find out more about, well, you've got two books, haven't you, the 2012 and the Empath Toolkit. So if are they available through your website, or is it through Amazon? Where can they find them?
They can find it on Amazon. Well, the first book is a digital book. It's an ebook only, and that's available at Empath, EMPATH, empathconnection.com, and that's the complete empath toolkit. And the second book is, which also contains many of the ideas in the first book, is called Navigating 2012, and that's available on Amazon and also at navigating2012.com.
Okay.
And we also have two audiobooks on Amazon as well.
Okay, well, Michael, thank you very much for your time, and I will, I'm sure we'll, you know, we'll have lots of interesting run-ins, and hopefully no more run-ins with dark souls. That would be good.
and please, also, I would ask you to give your information, because I plan on reposting this to my list and to my Empath Connection. So please share your, where can my listeners find out about your work?
Okay, well, I have, my main website is noordinarylife.biz, and that's basically just my coaching site, but it's more, you know, I just do general coaching, and my other website is, for the book, is called www.darksouls, that's all one word, -thebook.com. It's a new site, so you can purchase the book through there. At the moment, in the next month or so, it will be available through Amazon. For anybody who's based in the UK, I'm offering free shipping at the moment for any books that in the next month. And there's also a Facebook group which talks about, you know, it's like a support group, really. I decided not to set up a forum, because often we'll get these people who kind of infiltrate the forum, so I decided not to do that. So it's really just a kind of like a posting page where people can put their posts up. And if people go onto my website, there's lots of recommended places for people to get support, like, you know, proper support forums and places like that where they can get help. So that's it, really.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for doing the work that you do.
Yeah, oh, hopefully we'll enlighten a few people.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, nice speaking to you, Michael, and I'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you, Sarah, so much.
Okay. Bye.
Take care.